we present Best Sellers. Best Sellers, featuring great works by famous authors of today and yesterday. In June 1942, two German U-boats headed quietly into American waters, aimed at two isolated beaches. On board each craft was a team of four men, eight specialists, primed for an audacious mission, codenamed Operation Pistorius. But neither team knew of another passenger with an even greater mission that could shake the world. He was the Ninth Man. The Ninth Man. A chilling story based on historical fact by John Lee and dramatized for radio in 25 episodes by Victor Max.
Difficult. Sea is becoming a little choppy. Horst?
Yeah, I think it is a little. Hell, it has taken them long enough to get those men ashore. Sitting out here off this coast like a rubber duck, we could so easily be picked up or blown out of the water if the Americans had the slightest idea we were in the vicinity.
Yeah, we can be thankful they haven't been in the war long enough to know what it's all about.
Yeah.
They still have to wake up to the facts of life.
Come on. Pull, says the cap. Well, what took you so long? Did you think you were here on holiday?
It's no laughing matter. Where's the captain?
He waits for your report, I shouldn't wonder. He's as anxious to get out of here as we are.
It's most peculiar, sir. Three of the men we unloaded had gone up towards the dune, somewhere to the left of us. We were waiting for the one called Dash. When suddenly this light comes towards us on the beach.
It could have been one of our men or someone else. What are we to think?
He told us to get away quickly, come back here to the U-boat. He even helped to push us out of the breakers. We were very quickly swallowed up by the fog.
And you heard nothing out of the ordinary while you were pulling away? There were no shots, no signs of violence?
No. Any normal conversation would have been covered by the sound of the breakers.
Dash did the right thing in sending you back. Doesn't pay to take chances. Everything had been unloaded?
Yeah.
Good. Under the circumstances, I must assume that all has gone according to plan, since I know so little of what the plans actually are. I think you must get back to the other man as soon as possible.
But, sir...
Orders are orders. The sooner we get moving, the better. The fog will still provide plenty of cover. Proceed cautiously. Say nothing for the time being. There's no sense in looking for trouble. You'll have to play it by ear, I'm afraid.
Yes, sir.
Now get back to the dinghy. He's ready and waiting to go. I'll send him down. Complete everything as quickly and as smoothly as you can.
Jesus, is the matter with these two? They haven't opened their mouths since we left the U-boat. They must have known. Must have been warned about a second landing. They seem frightened out of their wits. There's the beach up ahead. A few more strokes.
Henry, look over there.
Dear heavens, a light. Not like before. What is going on? It looks like a truck.
What's the matter with you two? You said a word all the way into shore, and now you're like two frightened schoolgirls. Did you know about this?
No, not exactly.
What do you mean, not exactly?
There was trouble earlier. At least we thought so. Someone on the beach. It may have been one of the party. We couldn't be sure.
Why wasn't I told?
I don't know. That's the captain's duty. We do as we are told, but this is different. We've got to get out of here. If they catch us, we'll be locked away for the rest of the war. Give the line a tug. Let the boys know we are coming back.
Wait. You have to put me ashore first.
Put you ashore? How can we? The truck may see us.
Well, you should have thought of that before. Said something in the first place. We'll have to wait till it passes. Anyway, they can't see us in this fog. They're a long way off. You'll get back.
They have stopped the truck. Looks as if they're searching for something out there. In the sand.
Shh.
Listen. Dear God, I'm sure this fog is beginning to lift. If we wait here much longer, they will see us for sure.
No, they won't. They're walking up the beach beyond the headlights. Now keep your voices down. Quickly, give me a hand.
What are you doing?
Lightening my load a little. I'm going ashore. Most of what I need is in this bag. Quick, help me get this uniform off. You can get back to the U-boat.
You must be mad. How can you hope to escape detection? Come back with us. No one can blame you for not...
Tell the captain I thank him for his consideration. Tell him I will make a point of repaying him when I see him in 3 weeks' time.
Well, that's up to you. You know what you're doing.
Yes, thank you. Now, I'll loop my shoes around my neck. Yeah, I'll just have to get a bit wet, I'm afraid. Right, pass me that bag. This is as far in as you need to go. Thank you. I'll meet his hand.
Off you go. Off we the same. Good luck.
Down near the water.
Now, what in tarnation do you think that is? Oh, too far off to be sure. Could be a fishing boat.
Yeah, could be. Too dark, can't be.
Could be that boat Vernon Flynn was talking about.
Yeah, it could be. Well, let's get back the others, eh?
That was close. Much too close. Swim. Not allowed to spend all that time in the water. Or else I would have wrapped the money belt in the oarskin. Blast. All those bells. $20,000 worth. How the blazes am I going to dry them out? I can just see it. My predicament.
holed up in some hotel room, spreading the bills out on the bed, the floor, the windowsills, on every available surface, trying to dry them out. What a mess. That should be high enough. Get down behind here. Dress.
What are they up to?
Searching for something? Dash and his men? What could they possibly know? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And yet, if only the authorities hadn't been in such a hurry to set me... Damn it. Should have given me more time. Allow me to pick my own men. This lot... Kinslake, selected and trained by some outsider. Walter Kappa, German-American. How could he know about the choice of men for a job like this? There should be men from the Canaris group. Tried and trusted experts. Professionals. Well, we're here now. Questions and answers don't matter. It's what's done that counts. First thing is to get away from here, find the railroad station, and watch for Dash and his team to board the train. Make sure they're on their way.
Few minutes longer. He would have seen a group of men come pouring out of the dunes to a spot about 100 yards down the beach, a spot to which they'd been drawn by a carelessly dragged sea bag. He would have seen them rush into the fan of light in front of the truck, bearing the sand-clotted crates of explosives which George Dash and his three men of the Kent's Lake group had buried about 45 minutes earlier. Had this extraordinary man seen all that, would the ultimate result have been even more shattering? For some, Friday, 12th June, 1942, may just as well have been Friday the 13th.
We, the three other members of the New York team, and myself, finally found the Amangansett station in the early hours of Saturday, June 13th. Our first day in the United States. Our clothing was dirty and damp from groping through the darkened countryside before sunrise. The side of the locked station, a yellow and black building with a high peaked roof, did little to reassure us or make us feel any less out of place. Richard Kieran had a welt on his forehead from walking into a clothesline in the darkness. Peter Berger had turned his ankle in a drainage ditch and had a noticeable limp. Heinrich Hank was his usual grim, tough little self. But we were all more nervous than any of us would have liked to admit. The station master arrived and unlocked the premises at 6:30.
They don't seem to be too fussy about how they dress for work at a Amangansett. Is it usual to arrive in shirt sleeves?
Someone should check it out first. Any volunteers?
Well?
Kappa made you the leader. Your American's better than mine. What about you, Peter? Richard?
Never mind. I'll go. Looks as though we have the station to ourselves for the time being. Just be as discreet as you can if anyone comes.
Right.
Ah, morning. Out a bit early in the day, aren't you?
Yeah. We've been fishing. Didn't have much luck, though. Has the fishing been this bad all summer?
Well, depends. I hear they're biting pretty good over at Montauk. Fella the other day said they were biting down to Wyberg's Beach, too.
You never know with fishing, do you? I guess we've had enough. My business associates and I are about ready to give up, go home. Yeah, what time's the next train to New York?
Yeah, that would be the 657 to Jamaica. And she'll be coming through in about 20 minutes. And there's another one an hour later.
No, the train to Jamaica's fine. That's where we live, Jamaica. Can you sell me 4 one-way tickets?
Yeah, why not? Being Saturday, she ought to be near to empty. Most folks come out on weekends, not the other way around. Four one-way, you say?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah, isn't that odd? We've been fishing so hard, I must be losing my memory. I can't remember how much the tickets cost.
Same going in as it was coming out. $5.10 each.
Oh, yeah, of course. Now remember. Here you are.
That's it. Lovely, thank you.
Thank you.
Did you have any trouble?
No trouble. There's a train due in 15 or 20 minutes. I bought tickets for us all.
It's a relief. Let's walk up the platform a little way. So far, we're the only ones here, apart from one or two railway workers walking around.
Yeah, so I see. We can thank God that they're used to seeing weekend fishermen in grubby clothes. Our appearance doesn't seem to worry them.
No, they don't seem to be particularly concerned.
When the station master first saw me in the office, I thought, by the way he looked at me, he might be curious. So I told him we'd been fishing in the area without success, and I decided to pack it up. He mentioned one or two other spots we might try.
Oh, he couldn't have doubted you then.
No. He also said the train should be practically empty. More people coming out of town for the weekend than going in.
Yeah. Did you get some small change from the ticket office? It's easier to present when we get the opportunity to buy some newspapers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, must keep up to date with the latest developments.
Quite right.
Here, I got your copy of the New York Times.
Well, thank you, Peter.
The chaps are quite excited about the main stories. Quite a lot's been happening since we left Germany.
Yeah, as you say.
Japanese make landings on Aleutian Islands.
So, the Japanese have landed in the Aleutians, only a stone's throw from Alaska. What price Canada? They are moving fast.
Battle of the Coral Sea, May the 4th to May the 8th.
Are under to victorious Japanese forces in Philippines.
Japanese light carrier Shohu sunk by aircraft from U.S. carriers Lexington and York.
America carriers Yorktown, Lexington hit by our conquering forces. Lexington torpedoed twice and hit by aircraft.
Two internal explosions forced crew to abandon ship. Beloved Lady Lex had to be sunk by friendly destroyer's torpedoes. Many members of crew saved by quick thinking on part of captain and crew.
Americans lose aircraft carrier, destroyer, and tanker.
Japanese carrier Shohu sunk and carrier Shukoku badly damaged. Many aircraft destroyed in process and hundreds killed.
Long Island authorities clamped down on dim-out violators along the Atlantic beachfront. Remember the Second Corps slogan, if in doubt, put it out. A lot of good the dim-out violator did to the U-202 last night in the fog. Well, Americans must succeed sometimes. Japanese forces have had a bit of a setback over Port Moresby, but In the meantime, Bataan has fallen. Singapore is in our hands. Thailand, Luzon, Hong Kong. As Kappa said during our training,
the Americans must wonder what is going to happen next. You have a wonderful opportunity to strike a massive blow for Germany. At this time, the United States is only just beginning to know what the war is all about. You will have enough money and explosives to last you for 2 years. You have the means at your disposal to impress on the United States how vulnerable it is to German might. They have enough to think about with the Japanese, without suspecting what we might have in store for them at this time. Now, about the training.
Reveille at 700, calisthenics until 7:30.
Clean up your quarters from 7:30 to 8.
Breakfast 800 to 900.
Read, understand, and talk about American newspapers and the magazines until they pour out of your ears. New York Times, Chicago Tribune, Life, Time Magazine, Courier's, Saturday Evening Post.
Hey, what's this?
What was this?
This thing is, they say, Jamaica. I thought we were going to New York.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, all right, don't panic. We are going to New York. Jamaica's a part of it. It's a place in Queens.
Then why don't they call it New York?
Don't worry about it. It doesn't present any problems. I have been thinking about things when we get there. I think we must split up for a while. You and Kieran can go to Manhattan by subway and shop for some new clothing. We can't go around like this for long. Berger and I will stay in Jamaica and do our shopping there. We'll meet later in the afternoon.
I don't like it. Why can't we stay together?
We're less likely to attract attention if we split up. We're too conspicuous as we are.
Yes, of course, I suppose you're right. Some new clean clothes can make quite a difference to our morale, apart from...
Hey, look at this. Something in New York we must go to see. It's got a nice review.
We don't have time for movies.
Oh, we ought to see this one. It's called Nazi Agent.
U-202 and U-584. Eight highly trained German agents, all German-Americans, who had lived in the United States before the war and who were trained together through the long spring months of 42 at a hidden sabotage school at Kent's Lake near Brandenburg in Germany. The U-202 had landed her cargo of men, money, and explosives, not under the happiest of circumstances, on June 12th off Long Island. The other team, the Florida team, was to arrive a few days later. We were to learn that they had been programmed by a small subunit of Abwehr 2, the sabotage arm of the German Military Intelligence Corps, to infiltrate our country on a mission of death and destruction. What was worse, and far more formidable, was the man whom they did not know about. The man whom we did not know about for quite a while. The man who would become my own personal nightmare, dreamt up by the arm of German military intelligence Abwehr 1, the Ninth Man.
That was Episode 2 of The Ninth Man by John Lee. Adapted and directed for broadcasting in 25 parts by Victor Magazine. You have been listening to Best Sellers, featuring the masterworks of famous authors that have captured the imagination of the world.